Joining us on the KSR Live Line is Linda Starr, the co-founder of the Northern California Innocence Project. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
How did the Innocence Project uncover all this information? Because the FBI isn't exactly known for being chatty.
No, what happened is there were several cases where convictions were overturned based on DNA evidence showing that the wrong person had been convicted. And there were three of them in Washington, D.C., where it became evident that there were FBI examiners testifying incorrectly. And because that's Washington, D.C., where the FBI is, to their credit, they said they would take a look at some cases and see what was going on with this overstated testimony. I don't think anybody anticipated that it would be as widespread as it is, the problem.
It's really shocking. Absolutely no question that this is unbelievable, that their elite crack guys and gals could have made this many mistakes. Unfortunately, do you think it was deliberate or accidental?
Well, I think what it does is it exposes a big flaw in our criminal justice system having to do with how we monitor forensic science, how we qualify something as a science, and how we qualify somebody as an expert, as able to testify as an expert in these cases. And that's what this demonstrates. They were testifying based only on what they thought, not on scientific evidence.
Linda, what about geography? For example, does Northern California have a big problem from what you've seen? Are there clusters, if you will, where the Innocence Project seems to be finding more wrongfully convicted people?
Well, I think we don't know the extent of the problem yet. We certainly have seen some states where there's a whole lot more than other states. California is not leading the pack in terms of the number of cases so far identified. But we need to be cautious about drawing any conclusions yet, because all they're looking at now are cases where these specific FBI examiners testify. The problem is these examiners trained all the examiners in all the other states, and there hasn't been any effort yet to start looking at those cases.
Yeah, I just have this vision flashing before my eyes that if this was taking place with hair samples, what about other DNA evidence? And I'm sure this has occurred to you at the Innocence Project.
I mean, like I said, this goes back to the whole issue with forensic science. There's all kinds of forensic testimony that's considered scientific and irrefutable and undeniable, and we're going to have an effort to look into so many of those sciences and find that, in fact, it's a problem. It's such a problem that in 2009, the National Academy of Sciences itself recommended that there be far stricter qualifications for forensic science disciplines.
So how is the Innocence Project affecting prosecution now? For example, are people calling you up directly hoping you can help with cases? Are you seeing legislation that is taking into account what the Innocence Project has done?
All of the above. People do reach out to us and see if we can help them when they're charged. We focus mainly on post-conviction work, so we have lots of people reach out to us and look for help after they've been convicted. And we're always looking for ways to influence policymakers, including legislators, to adapt best practices so that wrongful convictions are less likely to occur.
So do you find that somebody has been proven innocent under what you're doing with research that has already been put to death?
Well, that's a constant debate about whether or not there have been exonerated people on death row. Of course, we'll never know for sure on many of them. What's interesting about the hair analysis here is that there were many people on death row that have been identified as having had this false testimony. Now, that doesn't mean they're innocent. There will be extra careful look taken at those cases to see if that's the case.
Yeah, but we should reiterate that many of the cases involved where there were incorrect hair samples or incorrect testimony about them, there was other evidence that was used in conjunction with it. So prosecutors are, though, and district attorneys across Northern California and across the rest of the country are still going to have to go back through their case files and look at each one of these things individually.
That's right.
Well, Linda, thank you.
This is just the start.
Thank you very much. If people want to learn more about the Innocence Project, where can they find you?
They can find us at Northern California Innocence Project at Santa Clara University, If they go to the Santa Clara University website, they'll find a link to our project.
Linda, thank you. Linda Starr, co-founder of the Northern California Innocence Project.